brought to you by Penguin. Light Over Liskeard by Louis de Bernière. Read by Rufus Wright. What if being awake is really a dream, and dreaming is just a dream inside another dream? Chapter 1. A Messenger Arrives. I opened the door, and there the poet stood. He was a dark man, clad in a midnight blue cloak with gold braid around the cuffs, a black fedora on his head. He wore a wide leather belt with a scrip hanging from it on the left-hand side, and in his right hand he carried a silver-tipped ebony walking stick. He was tall and gaunt, his face almost completely concealed beneath the shadow of his hat. He wore a thin, carefully trimmed moustache that extended beyond the compass of his lips. He stood, his cane before him, with the long, thin fingers of both hands resting on the top. His pose reminded me of a sentry. I caught the intense glitter of his eyes. Judging from the tenor of his voice and the shade of his skin, I assumed that he was of mixed stock, as almost everyone is these days. Even so, I was reminded of a line from an old French song, which mentions l'élégance d'être noir. I stood speechless. It was quite common to see people walking about the streets dressed as wizards, prophets and magicians, Vikings or aliens. In those days, no one had to engage with anything practical. No one had to go to work, and so everybody dressed according to their fantasy. I confess that I used to dress in a toga, like a Roman senator, and I have no idea why. We had become a race almost entirely got up in fancy dress. Most of us were glued to our screens, often three or four at once, or inhabiting the metaverses conjured up within our 3D helmets, or, fueled by ingenious aphrodisiacs, seeking ever more sensation from our sex bots. It was commonplace to see helmeted young men dressed as musketeers having sword fights in the parks with invisible opponents, and helmeted young women dancing tangos with virtual partners more dashing and glamorous than a real one could ever have been. We were living longer and longer, more and more of our body parts mechanized, with less and less to do. Advances in biohacking had made it possible for people to transform themselves continuously in thousands of ways. A friend who had decided to become a Klingon might turn up a decade later as a Vulcan. Some people identified as animals and had their heads rearranged to resemble cats, dogs, or bears. We were a civilization of ever-diminishing returns. I look back on it and think of it variously as the age of unreality, the age of apathy, the age of pointless novelty, inescapable idleness, the disappearance of Homo habilis, the ascendancy of Homo redundans. Learned papers were being written about a worldwide plague of anhedonia, described as the inability to derive pleasure from pleasure. The most common causes of death were accidental suicide, death by inattention, death by misadventure. People in headphones and helmets, my children called them gargoyles, stepping out in front of driverless cars. Despite our longevity, the human population was nonetheless steadily shrinking. Somehow we had lost the will to breed. Children were such a commitment. It was such hard work. They were such a distraction, such an inconvenience. It was tedious having to deal with IA bots that constantly needed adjusting and reprogramming. It was rare in those last days to find someone with a domestic dog that was not a mechanized simulacrum. Some people thought that evolution itself had given up on the human race. There was a persistent rumor that human children, even the ones created in laboratories, were being born without genitals. The thin man in the cloak said, "You're the man who cracks the quantum codes." His voice was firm and clear, his intonation musical. He did not say, "Are you the cryptographer?" No, he simply told me who I was. I answered, "Yes, I am the cryptographer. One of many." "No doubt. But you're the one I've come to see." I looked him up and down, wondering who he really was and what I was going to have to do to get him away from my doorstep. It was then that he prophesied in great detail all the things I feared were going to happen and which have now come to pass. In truth, he told me only what people such as myself had been suspecting all our professional lives. We used to make little jests about it between ourselves. We were like people whose lives depended upon acting as if the ice were thick.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?